Thank you. Thank you, Mark, for our beautiful prelude this morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house on this homecoming Sunday morning. We are excited that you've decided to join us with your friends and family to celebrate 77 years of ministry here at First Baptist today. My hope is that the Spirit will move in our worship time this morning, just as the Spirit moved 77 years ago when our church was founded. For those joining us this morning on Facebook Live, I want to say welcome. I want to remind you that you can go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There, pull up the worship bulletin and use that as a resource for our extended worship service today. I also want to encourage you, as soon as the worship service is over, come on down to First Baptist Elon in the fellowship hall and join us around the table for our fellowship meal that will take place immediately following the worship service today. This morning, we're excited for many reasons. It's good to see friends and family with us, and we're excited to welcome back to First Baptist Church of Elon, Ms. Casey Johnson and her husband, Todd, and it's great to have y'all back with us. And Casey said that God called her to come, and we're excited that she did. She says she's only got a couple more weeks on her scooter, so she's excited about that. But we're gonna be a little creative today with singing for her being here to share her musical gifts with us. So again, we look forward to worship this morning, the Lord moving in this place today, the Lord moving through music, through prayer, through scripture, and through God's word. Let us worship together this morning.
Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you all so much for having me back. I'm very blessed to be here today and thankful that you've welcomed me into your worship service, and I hope that I can be an integral part of that. Before I sing my first song, I want to share something with you. So when Miss Gay originally asked me to come and sing, and she told me it was homecoming, and there's one song that really sticks out in my mind, and it's called Homecoming, and it talks about the final homecoming when we go and meet with Jesus face to face. And so I could not find the instrumental track for it, so I wanna, if you'll indulge me a moment, because I think it'll be a blessing, I'm gonna sing just the chorus a cappella for you. There'll be a homecoming some morning when Jesus calls us away. I'll see mother and daddy. Well, Lord, I am ready for heaven's homecoming day.
So I hope that's a blessing.
The first song that I'm going to do is called His Eyes on the Sparrow. I changed my mind a couple of times on the songs that I was going to sing, and this week I told Miss Gay, I said, I just feel like it was laid on my heart to do an older song and then do a newer song. So we're going to do the older one first, and I hope that you enjoy this version of His Eyes on the Spirit.
Do the
Casey to come sing. She says, well, you know, I'm having foot surgery and I'm going to be on a scooter. I said, well, they're used to a scooter. I was on one for 10 weeks. I said, they won't even think twice about you being on a scooter. And but she is a lot more graceful than I ever was on that thing. Our opening hymn this morning, let's stand and sing, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Scripture reading comes from Psalm 66, reading verses 1 through 12 this morning. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name. Come and see what God has done. How awesome his works in man's behalf. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. For 77 years, God has brought us to a place of abundance of his blessing here at First Baptist. Today is no different. Next Sunday will be no different as well. But we are in his presence today to worship. Go with me in prayer this morning. Blessed are you, O God, full of faithfulness and steadfast love. How awesome are your deeds. How glorious is your name in all the earth. On this homecoming Sunday, we celebrate who you are and what you have done for us. You hold our lives in your hands and keep our feet from stumbling. We've come together, led by the Holy Spirit, to sing your praise, to confess our failings, and to receive your forgiveness and love, made possible through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. To you be all glory, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, one God, forever and ever. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We're going to sing, it's hard to believe that I'm going to say this, but an old contemporary song. I think about this should be in the hymn books by now. 10,000 Reasons, and the last part of the chorus, it says, I worship your holy name, and let's worship his holy name right this very moment. Let's stand and sing 10,000 Reasons.
Thank you. Casey.
On August 8, 1948, 47 men, women, and children felt the call from our Lord to establish a Baptist church here in the small community of Elon College. Birthed out of Brookwood Baptist Church, those families stepped out on faith, and we gather this morning as a testimony to their faith and their courage. 77 years later, our Lord continues to call as we worship, as we study, and as we serve within these walls and outside in the Elon community. My prayer is that 73 years from now, the church family of First Baptist Church of Elon will gather again on the 150th homecoming, remembering that same faith and courage of the original 47. This morning, we want to honor those original members and all who have become a part of the family here at First Baptist since then. I'm pretty sure we don't have any of our charter members here today. However, I am aware, and I do know, that we do have some family members of those original 47. So if you are an immediate or extended family member of one of those 47 original members, would you please stand at this time to be honored? Chip, it's good to have you here today, brother. Now I want to ask that you stay standing just for a moment. Thank you for being here to celebrate with us this morning. However, this morning, we want to honor all 47 men, women, and children who are part of that original group. So I want to encourage you just a moment to take that list out of charter members that are listed in your bulletin today. Look at the names. Read the names. Some of you recognize those names this morning. And what we want you to do today is this. If you would honor one of those original 47, I want to encourage you to stand and speak their name out loud today. My hope is that everyone, even if you don't know any of those original 47, that you'll identify a name on that list to speak as you stand up today. So this morning, if you're ready to speak the names of those 47 and stand in their honor, I turn it over to you. And I will begin by saying Reverend Calvin C. Faircloth.
Carolyn Barnett. Carolyn Barnett.
Ms. Claire Christman.
This is Amy Dix.
Mr. and Mrs. W.F. Austin.
Jerry Steele.
Hazel Beck Jeff.
Isabel Brown.
Bob Scott.
Mr. and Mrs. James M. Horn.
many names that, like I said, we may not know them personally, but we do recognize their faith and their courage. Now, if everybody would please stand, if able, in honor of the original 47. Would you pray with me this morning? We come before you today, God, with hearts full of gratitude and joy as we gather for this special occasion, our church homecoming. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being a part of this family of faith, for the love that binds us together, and for the journey that has brought us to this moment, this day. Father, you have been our foundation through every season. From the very beginning of this church existence 77 years ago, you have guided, protected, and provided for us. Through times of joy and times of trial, your faithfulness has never wavered. Today, as we reunite and celebrate these men, women, these brothers and sisters in Christ, we remember the countless blessings that you have poured out upon our congregation. We give you all the glory and the honor and praise for sustaining us and for allowing us to gather once again in your name. Lord, we thank you for every person who has been a part of this church story, those who planted the seeds of faith, those who nurtured and watered them, and those who continue to labor in your vineyard. We remember with love and gratitude the saints who have gone before us, whose prayers, sacrifices, and dedication have paved the way for us to worship here today. May their legacy of faith continue to inspire us to serve you wholeheartedly. As we come together this day, we ask for your presence to fill this place. May this homecoming be more than what we have expected. May it be more than just a reunion of friends and family. May it be a time of spiritual renewal, a time of rededication to your work, and a time of deepening our love for you and for one another. Let our fellowship be filled with joy, with encouragement and unity. May every conversation, every hug, and every shared memory remind us of the love that flows from you. We also lift up the future of our church to you, Lord. As we celebrate our past, we also look forward with hope and expectation. Guide our members with wisdom, strengthen our ministries, and empower us to be a light in this community. May we continue to be a place where the lost find salvation, where the weary find rest, and where your name is glorified in all that we do. Bless this day, Father. Bless this worship, the preaching of your word, the music, the fellowship, and every moment we share together. May your Holy Spirit move mightily among us, touching our hearts, healing our wounds, and igniting a renewed passion for your kingdom. We give you all the praise, Lord, for you alone are worthy. Thank you for this church, for this family, and for this homecoming. May your love bind us together now and always, until the day we are reunited in your eternal home with you. In the mighty and precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray this day. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. My name is Sally, and most of you see me normally playing an instrument up here, so this morning is a little bit nerve-wracking for me. I don't know if you've ever gotten up in front and done a solo. I thought about pulling a Milli Vanilli, if you remember Milli, and just handing the mic to Casey and lip-sing up here. This song is absolutely beautiful. When Gay asked me to sing the solo, I'm like, oh yeah, it's beautiful. Then she told me it was homecoming. I'm like, all those people. I want you to listen to the words, because no matter how great I sing, we are singing for God's glory. Amen. And we are going to sing this song, and the words are so beautiful. So the words will be on the screen if you'd like to follow along.
Thank you. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Songs, a blessed be the name of the Lord. I sing praises and glorify thy name. Let's stand and worship together.
Before we pray, full disclosure, at least for me, sometimes when you sing, the words get the best of you when you realize what you're singing, and you suddenly realize, I can't get that out. You're just too overcome. And when we sing, and all my life, you have been faithful. And all my life, you have been so, so good. And I think that doesn't do it justice. Because God was faithful, and he was so, so good before me, before you, before this church. And unless his son comes back for us before we die, he will be faithful and so, so good long after we're gone. Amen. And I don't know about you, I've been fortunate to have an earthly father and mother that show me what it's like to know love from a family. Not everybody knows that. So when we come for homecoming, what's the best part of coming home? It's seeing family. Well, you may be the only family that somebody knows. So I am forever grateful to this church and what it means to be my spiritual family. My brothers, my sisters, my crazy cousins in Christ. Right? So pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come here today and we praise you for being so, so good. We pray that every time we have the opportunity to give to you, that we do it cheerfully and gratefully and recognize that we were not born into this. You adopted us into this family. You wanted us. And Lord, as we find other people in our path for whom we can be a brother or a sister or a father or whatever, that you will encourage us and spur us and equip us to do just that and bring them into your family. Thank you for loving us. In your son's precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
You can always count on your husband to tell you the truth. Don't talk so much this time, he says. When the Father lays something on my heart, I have to share it. I can't help myself. Give me just a moment. Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray, come Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gone. Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around.
we'll stand face to face. So come and lay it all down, 'cause it might be today. The time is right now. There's no need to wait. Your past can be washed by His rivers of grace. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day.
Casey, thank you for being with us today. It was an honor. Thank you to our worship choir for their beautiful, special music, and thank you for the congregational hymns today. Gay, thank you for lining everything up today. This morning, it is my great honor to welcome home our guest preacher for today, the Reverend Justin Mofield. As you've already read in your bulletin, as you probably have already looked over, Justin serves as the Associate Pastor of Youth and Congregational Engagement at the First Baptist Church of Forest City, where he began his ministry in October of 2022. Justin graduated from Clemson University in 2022, and then from the Gardner Webb School of Divinity this past spring with a Master's of Divinity with concentration in Pastoral Studies. While at Clemson, Justin met his better half, Haley, and they were married in 2022. He and Haley now live in Rutherfordton, North Carolina, as Haley teaches fifth grade math and science at Chesney Elementary in Chesney, South Carolina. Thank you for your ministry as well. As you have heard, I welcome Justin back home because he literally grew up within these walls here at First Baptist. When his father, Reverend Mark Mofield, served as a senior pastor from 2001 to 2013. I still remember Mark and Amy coming for the senior pastor visit prior to him being called here as senior pastor at First Baptist, Justin exploring our playground outside, our hallways, and everything in between. That makes me feel really old. Anyway, I've had the honor of having Justin as a part of our youth group here at First Baptist, serving in the mission field with him and spending countless evenings of quality time with he and his family through the years at the Mofield House. It is also good to have Noah back with us as well. We weren't sure Noah's going to be here, but we would have Noah sing. Next time you come, we'll have him sing. But now, this morning, I am most grateful and thankful to call Justin and Noah and Haley friends, and to call him a fellow minister, brother in Christ. Justin, the pulpit is yours. Welcome home.
Well, I don't really know how I'm supposed to follow all of that, because that was just wonderful, was it not? It is an honor to be here this morning. I was enthusiastic when David texted me over the summer and asked me to be here this morning. And I have to tell you, when he texted me and gave me the rundown of this morning, and he made the comment in his text of, well, it's a little bit longer of a service. We wanted to give you a little extra time to preach. And I said under my breath, David, I don't know what churches you've been in recently. Most of the ones that I've been in don't mind when the preacher talks a little less. So, especially when there's a lunch waiting for you on the other side. So, but it is a joy to be here this morning. And I do bring greetings as well from my family, from Mark and Amy. Some of you will remember as well, my aunt and uncle, Carrie and Rick Evans, and their children, Austin, who just had a little girl about a month ago, and Andrew and Emily, and we were all together this weekend. Speaking of family, we were all together to celebrate Kathy, my grandmother. It was her 80th birthday this week, and so everyone was together to celebrate, and they send their greetings as well. It is truly a joy to be here. I would like to begin with our scripture reading for today, which comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians. If you would like to follow along in your Bible or the more popular Bible app, is at least with my teenagers, is becoming more popular. We will be in chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. I invite you to join me. Paul says, I thank my God for every remembrance of you, always in every one of my prayers for all of you, praying with joy for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I hold you in my heart, for all of you are my partners in God's grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the tender affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you determine what really matters, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you now please join me in prayer? Now, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable unto you. Speak, Lord, for we, your servants, are listening. Amen. As I mentioned, I am excited to be here today of all days, because today is a great day of celebration. And I should say that I do think that every day when we as believers can gather under the name of Christ Jesus, that is a day worth celebrating. I do think it is also then fair to say that there are days in the life of the church and in the life of our community that warrant extra attention and highlighting and recognition. And days like homecoming, where we get to celebrate the legacy and the heritage of this place in particular, certainly fits within that category. I'm honored to be a part of that celebration today. And I do have to tell you that my relationship with homecoming in general has dramatically changed in the past several years. As I thought about it in preparation for today, now being 25 years old, when homecoming comes around, I now more often than not find myself in the party of people doing the homecoming. That has not been the case for most of my life. In high school, in college, you're the ones who get everything ready and set everything up. And now I'm in that group of people that gets to come home. I remember being a student at Clemson.
when homecoming would come around every year. And if you've never been down there, Clemson has this massive open field called Bowman Field right in the heart of campus. And every year, the fraternities and sororities come together and put together these massive stationary floats that completely take over the field for 2 weeks. And they are up at 3 a.m. putting these floats together. And so you'll go to sleep one night and come back the next day, and all of a sudden everything looks different, and you don't really know how it got there. And they spend time on scaffolding and putting together these floats out of these pedal heavy-duty tissue paper type. I'm going to be honest, I don't really know what they're made out of. I think they're pretty. And I never got to work on one, and given my art history, that's probably a good thing. It would not look as good as they do. And then Friday night, they're usually done by Friday night before the big homecoming football game, and the whole town, downtown, shuts down, and everybody's walking through the street and onto the field, just admiring the work that has been done. And as a student, I would walk through this field, and I'd see the floats, and I was just simply in awe. I think the extent of my thought would be I'd walk up to one and go, oh, wow, that's really cool. And then that was it. That's pretty much all the thought that I would give to it. But I remember the first time that Haley and I went back for homecoming after I had graduated, and I still had the thought of, oh, wow, these are really cool. But it did something a little different to me this time. Because now I walk through and I see the floats depicting buildings around campus, and I then start to remember the good and sometimes not so good stories of my time in those buildings. And I see the floats depicting Death Valley and the college football playoff banners, and I remember what it was like when my football team had a winning record. That really has not been it's been a long football season, guys, and we're only halfway through. But you remember those times fondly, and I walk through campus and downtown, and you have the memories with your friends and close family, and you just can't help but smile. Because it holds such a special place in our heart. And that is the magic of days like today, is that we all come together, past and present, and we can find unity with so many different reasons why this place is special. And it has been special for 77 years. Days like today, we get to embody the attitude that I believe Paul has in the passage that we read a moment ago from Philippians. For Paul, unlike us today, Paul was not coming home to Philippi. He was probably imprisoned at the time that this letter was written. He even alludes to it. You heard in verse 7. But in this case, Paul does say, I thank my God for every remembrance of you. When Paul says that, there is something happening in him. There is a chord being struck in the same way that it happens today. And for you country music, if you're a country music person, I like to listen to Scotty McCreery. He's one of my favorites. But he has a song that's called Home in My Mind. And the whole song is about how while he's out on tour and singing across the country, the song details about what his life was like when he lived in the Carolinas, and he boils it down to sweet tea, porch swings, and supper on the stove. And even though he can't come home in those moments, he begins to think of those things, and it strikes a chord. Because there's a special place in his heart that those things sit. That is the kind of homecoming that Paul gets to have in this passage. But it is the same idea. And every time Paul remembers this church in Philippi, there is something stirred within him as he thinks about and reminisces on their partnership in the gospel work. And he says in verse 8, you want to know the extent of his relationship with the church. He says, as God is my witness, how I long for you. This is a special place for Paul. And at least to some extent, personally, I understand where Paul is. As I was preparing for today, I was sitting in my office and I turned around to the bookshelf behind me. And sitting on the bookshelf is a scrapbook that I received when I was ordained. And my wife Haley and my mom were the ones who put it together. And the scrapbook is full of notes and cards from people in my life wanting to celebrate with me and what had happened that day, many of which were written by this church. And this is the first time that I get to be here and see many of you since that day has happened. And so I want to start by saying thank you. Because it was truly a wonderful, wonderful day when I opened that book and read those notes for the first time. The wonderful chords and the good memories that were stirred in me when I pulled that scrapbook down and read again this week, all of those memories came back again because of the wonderful, wonderful people that I knew as I grew up as a little kid in this church. And then when I walk in today and you begin to then have more memories of moments, I walk through this out here and I still can hear Noah screaming from the top of the stairs, "Daddy!" Can still hear it. He still does it sometimes, but... And I walked into the sanctuary this morning and I look up here and the image that I see is from Advent and my dad dressed in a full sheep costume. And I don't think any of us remember any part of that sermon because we were all too busy laughing. And many of you can probably join me, probably better than I can. When you walk through these halls and you see the people that are sitting beside you in the pews and you remember the wonderful people and stories that you have been a part of in your time in this community of faith. And like Paul, at each remembrance, those fond moments, that is the essence of what we celebrate today. It's at this moment that Paul then shifts his attention, not completely away from the people of the church in Philippi, but he brings in an important part, an important piece of all of his messages. And he writes it in verse 6. And I'll tell you, preaching malpractice, I think, to give away your great point early in the sermon, but I'm going to do it now, and that's going to be okay. Paul says in verse 6, "I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Paul starts with thankfulness, the gratitude and the joy of the church, but now Paul is bringing attention to what he really wants to communicate, and that is the presence of God in their community. Even though it seems very evident the strength of the relationship between Paul and the Philippians, we can say in good confidence that not only does Paul have a strong relationship with the Lord, but I think Paul makes it clear that so does the church. And Paul reminds the church that from the day that this all began, from before their first gathering as a community of believers, God has set in motion the good works that make up the goodness of the fruits of our labor. Paul has been a witness to these good works and has the utmost confidence in what God is going to continue to do in this place. Because Paul and the Philippians' partnership in the gospel is knitted together by their own relationship with God and their commitment to God's will, God's mission, and God's purpose. God is working through the community of believers to carry out the plan set in motion long before humanity was even created. That, too, is what we celebrate today, because that is the heritage of the church. Homecoming always starts with heritage. And in keeping with our celebratory theme, we remember the individuals who made this church special. We also celebrate the good works, the actions, and the fruits that have grown out of this place that we have been a witness to. And when I reflect on the good work, when I was a member of this church, I remember days like the angel food ministry. And I remember waking up at hours of the morning that as 6 years old, I did not know existed. Did not think that 3 a.m. was a real time at 6. But I remember getting up and coming here, and there was a giant truck sitting in the back parking lot, and we would spend hours unloading it and getting food boxed together, and families from around the community would come together, people that we sometimes had never met before, and we had an opportunity to minister and serve with them. But they were able to receive nutrients and food that they may otherwise not have had an opportunity to receive. I remember other ministries such as CareerNet, which provided opportunities for community members to get exposure and education on resume building and find places back in the workforce. And better than me, you can probably continue to name and list the ways that the good fruit has been produced from First Baptist Elon. And it's possible because of your partnership in the gospel and the strength of your relationship with God. And on a day like today, when we are celebrating the roots of this church, we celebrate the good work that God began from the first day, 77 years ago. But might I offer a final piece of the puzzle, maybe one other thing that is worth celebrating today. And it may seem a little odd, but Paul is very specific that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it. So on a day when we are celebrating the past and the present uniting together, is it at all right that we celebrate the future? If the Almighty God, creator of the heavens and the earth, who countless times has been at the center of the good works of the church, who is very simply the heritage of not only this church, but Christian church everywhere, if we are celebrating that God who began a good work in us from the first day, can we celebrate what has yet to come and what God will do? Can we celebrate the good work that God will see through to completion? When Paul writes in verse 9, and I want to read this section again because I do believe it's a wonderful piece that Paul gives. And it's verse 9, he says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what really matters. So that in the day of Christ, you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest," and the translation that I like maybe a little better, "that you have produced the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God." I know we already said it once, but we're going to say it again. That is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I hope your love overflows more and more with knowledge and full insight. The good work that was begun long ago is all in the business of sharing love and sharing the gospel. Brothers and sisters, that is what we have been doing, not just for 77 years, but for thousands of years. And what does Paul say to the Philippians? That all this, that all that you have done is good work, but there are still new ways for you to fulfill the mission and purpose of sharing the love of Jesus Christ. There is still good fruit of righteousness that comes from Christ Jesus that will be produced. And God, who began the good work in you, will work to complete it. This is what Paul has full confidence in. And do you know why Paul has full confidence in it? You remember in Genesis when Abraham and God make the covenant and God says, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars? Or in Exodus when God says to Moses, I will deliver your people? One of the most famous scripture verses that we have, Jeremiah 29:11. For surely I know the plans I have for you. Do you know what it says after that? In those days when you pray, I will listen. When you look for me, you will find me. And I will deliver you. You know why Paul has full confidence of that? Because time and time again, we have word that it says, God will do this, God will, God will, God will. And you know what happened every time? God did. Now, I may not speak for everyone, but maybe you can take hold of this in a similar way that I have. The idea that the same God who pulled the strings behind this wonderful book that we read every week is the same God that brought believers together 77 years ago to establish this church, and is the same God that is now calling us to continue in the good works that are already happening and grow in new ways to share love, to join in that mission. The fact that this God, who created the millions of stars in the night sky, has given me a purpose, has given you a purpose, has given this church a purpose, I don't know about you, I find a lot of comfort in that. Dare I say, on a day where we celebrate our heritage, the one who began a good work in us, that we also celebrate in confidence that God will work to continue to complete it. God is not just locked behind the door of what has been, but is lighting the way forward towards the good work that will be completed through our partnership and commitment to the gospel. So, to you, First Baptist Church of Elon, I say this, that I have full confidence that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And today we celebrate the goodness that this special place has brought to each of us. All the people who make up this church and who have made up this church, all the good deeds that have been carried out in the name of Jesus, all the ways God has used this place and is using this place. And celebrate the same God who will continue to give us purpose and will work through us until the completion of the kingdom of heaven. That is a heritage worth all the honor and glory forever and ever. Would you please pray with me? Almighty God, your good deeds are too numerous to name. The goodness that you have shown us surpasses all understanding. But Lord, we are grateful that yet each and every day we wake up and we can say, Lord, may your will be done. That you still are working through this church and through your people to bring your kingdom to us. And so God, our prayer is the same that Paul prayed long ago, that our love might continue to grow and overflow in knowledge and full insight. So that way when people come to us and they see the good works that we do, that they not know who we are, but that they would know you. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Justin, for your words today. And we do celebrate the past. We celebrate in the present, but we also celebrate the future because God continues to work. Some years ago, I got a gift that I can't actually remember who it came from, but I have it hanging in my office. It says, "Don't worry about tomorrow. God is already there." God is there. God is working. He's preparing us for the future. And as we come to sing our closing hymn today, maybe God has been working on your heart today. And no, there's no better day than on this day of celebration to embrace your Lord and Savior at Jesus Christ as your Savior. If that's the decision you want to make today, I'll be standing down front during our closing hymn. Or maybe you want to be a part of this heritage that is First Baptist Church of Elon. We embrace all who come. We want to embrace you as a brother and sister in Christ. Come and talk with me if you'd like to join this church family. Or maybe today you've been struggling. Maybe this day is not a day of celebration for you. If you're struggling, come to the altar. The altar is always open. It's not my altar, it's His. Come and pray. I'll pray with you, or one of our deacons will pray with you. But whatever God is doing, God continues to do, not just in our hearts, not just in this family, but in this world. Let's stand and celebrate and sing that today. As we stand for this benediction and the blessing of the meal, I do want to go ahead and invite everyone upstairs to lunch today. We have more than enough food. I've already walked by the fellowship hall once, and it all smells good. And trust me, it probably tastes that way as well. But I also want to invite Justin and Haley and Noah to the back. Phil Thompson's back there with you. Casey and Todd, y'all go back and go ahead and get out ahead of the crowd. And if you want to speak with them individually, you can do it upstairs during lunch. That's not hijacking y'all for lunch today. So, if you would, as they head back, would you bow with me for the blessing of the meal this morning? Heavenly Father, may our celebration continue as we gather around the table for fellowship, for fun, and memory sharing. We are so thankful that in all you continue to bless us. May our lunch today that has been prepared and provided by so many be a glimpse of the bountiful feast that we will enjoy and celebrate in eternal glory. Bless the food, the fellowship, and the fun this day. Amen.